the assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, I told y'all, wasn't going to get all excited about my fantasy hockey team. You know, I was the number one seed. Wasn't going to talk any shit because I told y'all it can happen. It happens all the fucking time. And guess what happened, y'all? First place team, knock them out, loses on the last day of fantasy hockey. By the way, I had the lead all freaking week until last night at literally like 8 o'clock. I go and check my score. I'm like, come on, I got to have this win because I had the win all freaking week. Nope. Just barely lost that shit. So third place trophy, here I come. So yeah, I was kind of pissed off about that, but you know, it's just fantasy sports, so it's all good. But you know, speaking of competition, we had some great game ones this weekend for the NBA playoffs in the first round. Every single game this weekend had a game one, either on Saturday or Sunday. So let's go ahead and recap that. First of all, let's get to something that was absolutely hilarious, at least to me, was hilarious. So at both Timberwolves games, there were protesters who actually stopped the game. Now, if you don't know, I hate protesters. I think all protesters are losers, no matter what you're protesting. I think it's the stupidest form of expression, no matter what. And I mean that on all fucking levels. Even if people were like, just whatever, I hate protesters. Can't stand them. So when I see this shit at sporting events, it makes it even more amusing to me. And so on the play-in game, some bitch actually like super glued her fucking wrist to the bottom of the court. Like she just runs out on the court and puts super glue on and puts her like wrist on the court. And they literally are like trying to rip her off. And it took a few minutes. There was like even blood on the court because fucking bitch was fucking attached to the court. So that shit was absolutely hilarious. So that was great. And then the next Timberwolves game, somebody chained themselves to the basketball pole, and they didn't show that part of it. Like somebody had thrown something onto the court, like flyers or something. And then like, so that stopped the game. And then all of a sudden they had to stop the game for a little bit more because somebody was, they chained themselves to the basketball court, which was just absolutely amusing. I don't recall what these losers are protesting. I really don't care. They were absolutely amusing. I don't know what message they think they got across other than they look like absolute dumbasses, especially the bitch who fucking super glued herself to the court. Like they were just going to let you sit there, dummy. Oh, but that was great. That was, and that was just something so fucking random. I did not expect to see. And it was only at the Timberwolves games because it's something to do with the, if you don't know, the Timberwolves were just recently sold. But the owner who just sold the team, he still has the team until it transfers over. And so they're protesting something about him. Like I said, couldn't care less what it was, but it was highly amusing to me, especially for somebody who just can't stand protesters. I love when that shit goes wrong for them because your message got across to nobody other than I was laughing my motherfucking ass off, especially the broad super gluing herself to the freaking court. That was great. But anyways, let's get to the actual game action. And so game one of Utah Jazz versus the Dallas Mavericks went about as how I expected because Luka Doncic did not play. Dallas actually came out and had the lead for most of the first half. As a matter of fact, I think they had the lead going into the third quarter. I can't recall. That game was on Saturday. But they did play a good game. It was a close battle all the way through. Ended up being Utah Jazz won 99-93. But, I mean, I just wasn't really shocked with that because no Luka, then it's going to have the Mavericks are going to have all problems. Because while they have a decent team surrounding Luka, he's what makes – he's the engine that makes this team work. And it's sounding like he's going to be missing tonight's game too. So that's kind of looking like Dallas may be out of the playoffs, and it's all just due to Luka's injury. But yeah, like I said, when I was breaking down the Jazz, I don't really feel that they play a very good team ball. And that's kind of what happened in this game. While they got the win, if Luka Doncic was playing, man, the Mavericks probably would have just kicked their ass. But Utah got the win, and we'll see what happens in Game 2 tonight. Then in the other matchup in the Western Conference of Game 1 was the Minnesota Timberwolves versus the Memphis Grizzlies. And this was a very shocking game because Memphis came out flat. They didn't do anything, and Minnesota absolutely dominated them. And Karl Anthony Towns, he didn't have a good game the game before. Well, he came back and said, "Fuck y'all, I'm Karl Anthony Towns, remember me." And he came in and played a great game. Minnesota ended up winning this game 130-117, and it wasn't close at all at any point. Now, my prediction with this matchup was that Memphis would lose one game, and honestly, I had a feeling it was either going to be game one or game two. So I do expect Memphis to bounce back and get the win in the next one, but that was a great win by the Minnesota Timberwolves, and we'll see what happens with the rest of that series. But that was just absolute dominance by the Timberwolves in that matchup. Then we also had the Golden State Warriors versus the Denver Nuggets, and this was absolute domination by Golden State. They ended up winning 123-107. It wasn't close at all from any point in the game. You know, like I said, the Denver Nuggets completely rely on Nikola Jokic, and Golden State just has way too much firepower. And it's not even just Steph Curry who's good, but like Draymond Green stepped up and had a good game. You know, Klay Thompson's getting hotter, but a lot of their young guys are really stepping it up and having really solid games. And they do have a good coach, so they just know how to win. And I know they're going to key in on Jokic, and the Nuggets are really going to need to step it up if they want to even have a chance in this series. But Golden State absolutely dominated that matchup. Then the last game won in the Western Conference from last night, the Phoenix Suns versus New Orleans Pelicans. Phoenix just absolutely dominated from start to finish. It wasn't even a close game at all. I think the only time it was close was at tip-off. Other than that, Phoenix ended up getting the win 110-99. And Chris Paul just went off. He had 30 points and 10 assists. But this team is just looking good. You know, DeAndre Ayton played some great defense last night. Booker stepped up when he needed to step up. And this team just plays solid basketball. So absolute domination by the Phoenix Suns. And then moving over to the Eastern Conference, Game 1, Philadelphia 76ers versus the Toronto Raptors. Win as expected. Philadelphia just absolutely dominated the Raptors. Final score ended up being 131-111. And it was just never close at any point in time in this game. Then moving over to another blowout, the Miami Heat versus the Atlanta Hawks. Miami, once again, they dominated from start to finish. Final score ended up being 115-91. And basically they just keyed in on Trae Young, and that's what they need to do because he's their entire backbone. And if you just take him out, nobody's going to be able to compete with Miami. They have a lot of scoring power, and especially with that against Atlanta, they don't have the depth at all to compete with what Miami's got going on there. So that was not a surprising game one result. And then we had the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Chicago Bulls. This game started out dominated by the Bucks, but at halftime, Chicago completely turned it around, and they made it a back and forth game. I mean, the fourth quarter. Especially the last, the last 5 minutes, it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then Milwaukee started to get away with, they started to, pull away from the Bulls, and, they ended up getting the win 93-86. And also, you know, the Bulls, DeMar DeRozan, he had a great season so far this year, but, that playoff showing from him was awful. So I kind of feel like that really played a part in why they weren't able to get the win. But Milwaukee was dominating in the first half, and then it actually turned into a game in the second half. And then the game of the weekend, for sure, was the Boston Celtics versus the Brooklyn Nets. That was an excellent game. Just great basketball played by all the star players involved in this. They all stepped it up when they needed to. You know, Brooklyn really, really took it to Boston. And there was a point in time, like, especially in the last, like, I think it was 5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, Boston was up by like 5 points. And I'm looking at this game, I'm like, oh shit. And they're playing great defense on them. They're getting some good stops, but Boston was able to frustrate them on the defensive end. And once they started to get the couple scores they needed to get, they were on the last couple of sequences for the Nets, especially the last one where Kevin Durant threw up three. It was kind of a bad shot. I mean, it's Kevin Durant, so I'm a huge Kevin Durant fan, and plus he's always been known to make those kind of shots, so you can't really hate on what he did. But it was a poor sequence, and he just kind of tossed up the three. And so Boston was able to get the ball back, and they just played the perfect last final play to get the last basket. And, you know, and it was crazy too, because they're passing the ball around. And sometimes when you see that, it's very nerve wracking, because you're like, Jesus Christ, just shoot the freaking ball already. But they played it so perfectly into the very last second. You know, they're pass. And then finally Jason Tatum gets it while he's crossing over the middle, gets this nice layup, and, gets the win at the buzzer. And they go up and they get the win 115 to 114. So, that was just a great game by both teams. Something noteworthy though in this game, if you don't remember, Kyrie Irving did used to play for the Boston Celtics, before he played for the Nets, and that marriage didn't end, and it didn't last long either. And it ended badly. And so, every time Kyrie comes to Boston, the Boston fans let him know how they feel about it. And it's usually just in boos. And the way I see it is if you're an athlete, or hell, if you're anybody who just puts yourself out there, you're just going to have to know that there's going to be people out there who are going to boo you. And Kyrie's response was very crybaby-ish, in my opinion. And he actually did flip the crowd off multiple times. And it was just so stupid, because like I said, if you're a person, if you get into sports, you have to know that you're going to be the villain at times. There are going to be crowds that don't like you, whether it's opposing teams or whether you used to play for a team and you pissed off the fans for whatever reason. And don't get me wrong, the fans are acting childish too, because I don't act like that. I think that's stupid. Booing Kyrie Irving, like, does anything. Like, he gives a shit. He still gets his paycheck. But it was just so childish to see, because that's what you should expect. When you get into, hell, if you put yourself out there anyway, like in sports, if you're a musician, if you're an actor, or hell, even me doing this podcast, I know there's people who instantly see my picture and say, a woman hosting a sports podcast? Yeah, right. That bitch don't know shit about sports. The hell am I going to listen to a woman talk about sports for? Hell, there might be somebody listening currently right now saying that exact same thing. And I totally expect that. And it's no skin off my back. You know why? Because I've been putting myself out there for many years. I'm a rapper. I put my music out there. I've released 6 solo albums and been featured on many things. I put out music videos regularly. I'm putting myself out there all the time. So I know, and I knew before I put myself out there what I was getting myself into. And I know there's going to be people out there who call me stupid, call me ugly, call me fat. Yeah, they call the 100-pound fat, or the 100-pound girl fat. Yes, happens all the time, but I don't give a shit. But most people are going to say stupid shit to you, especially if you're an athlete, and especially if you're an athlete at Kyrie's level. So the fact that he can't handle being booed is ridiculous to me. You know, it's one thing if he's receiving death threats, or if people are hurling like racial slurs at him. And even in that case, I still think you need to act the better person, because I'm sorry, that's what the crowd does. And like I said, the crowd's stupid, but when a crowd's just booing you, you really need to, grow up and get over yourself. And he acted like he was the cool dude. They're going to give me that energy. I'm going to give him that energy. Yeah. What you should have done is just keep, I mean, you were playing great in the fourth quarter. He got to shut the, this is how you shut them up. Keep knocking down those threes and knocking down those game winners. And that's how you shut them up. But no, he acted like Boo Boo the Fool and was flipping off the crowd like a big loser. And that just looked stupid. And like I said, you know what you're getting into as an athlete. And you know what you're getting into if you put yourself out there. And I'm sorry, on occasions, people are going to say mean things to you or possibly boo you. But that's my rant on that stupidity. We did have the MVP finalists announced as well in the NBA. The three finalists are Giannis Antetokounmpo, Joel Embiid, and Nikola Jokic. I think all three well-deserved. That any one of them, in my opinion, could easily win that award. Like I've stated for many weeks now or months, Joel Embiid would be my pick just because he's been the dominant center and the dominant force for his team. And his team's been playing great basketball since the beginning of the season all the way through the playoffs, and it's all because of him. So I would give it to Embiid, but you can't count out Giannis or Jokic as well. So that's all the MVP finalists for this year. And so let's move on to some baseball. Now that we have a week and a half of baseball under our belts, I can actually now start doing my top 10 MLB power rankings. That's what I'm going to be doing every Monday, recapping the top 10 teams in baseball. And so let's go ahead and start it off with number one. Yeah, my San Francisco Giants are the number one top 10 power ranked team this week. They're 7-2. Now, I could have gone two ways with this one because there are two teams right now who are 7-2. But I'm a homer, and this is my show, and I'm a Giants fan, so fuck yeah, I'm going to put my Giants at number one. And plus, there's plenty of argument to be made for why they're the top team. At least for this week, they are the top team. So like I said, they're 7-2. They're coming off of a nice sweep of the Guardians this weekend. Kicked their ass. Carlos Rodon, let me tell you, this guy, he has pitched spectacular in both of his starts so far this season. Loving what this guy's got for us. Brandon Belt, when he's not injured, he's such a great hitter. And by the way, Hook'em Horns, I love that I've been able to root for Brandon Belt since he was a Texas Longhorn here in Austin, and then he got drafted by the Giants, and so I've been able to root for this guy from the jump. And like I said, when he's not injured, dude plays great, and right now he is on fire. Jock Peterson's on fire, and Joey Bart. He's filling right in for Buster Posey. At least for now, he is. He's looking really solid. He's obviously not Buster Posey's level yet, but he's definitely playing some great baseball. And the Giants, like I said, they're 7-2, but they're also on a 5-game winning streak right now. So they're playing some great baseball. And then number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Los Angeles Dodgers. You got to understand, I couldn't put them over my Giants. Come on, man. I'm a Giants fan. I can't put that stupid team over them unless there was a reason to. But they're both 7-2, so I didn't put them above it. But the Dodgers are on a 6-game winning streak right now, so that's a big deal as well. They're coming off of a sweep of the Reds this weekend. But Trey Turner, man. He is on fire right now. It's not shocking because he's been one of the top prospects when he was drafted by the Nationals a few years ago. This guy's been one of the top prospects, and since he was called up to the majors, he's played great. And so far for the Dodgers, he's been a great trade move for him. And I can't believe they were able to get him, because the thing about Trey Turner is I kind of feel like he's one of those like generational type players who now they have him, he's young, and they're obviously going to have to pay him some good money whenever his contract is coming up. But, I mean, this is a guy they could have for the next 10 to 13 years. That's how long his career can end up potentially going. He started off the season great, and their starting pitching is really what's dominated so far this season, and they just are looking really good. But luckily, my Giants are looking really good, so the battle has begun right out the gate between these two. All right, and then moving on to number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the New York Mets. They are 7-3, and I can't believe that I have them here, but I mean, they're starting pitching. Their pitching is playing well, and Alonso, this guy is hitting home runs at the park like it's his job. This guy is, he's just playing great baseball. He hit a grand slam in one game He's had some game-winning hits and game-winning home runs. And they just absolutely dominated the Diamondbacks this weekend. I mean, that's not really anything to go write home about because the Diamondbacks suck. But, hey, man, the Mets, I didn't really expect them to start the season off this good. And they're looking good right now. So I got the Mets at 3. Number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I got the Chicago White Sox. They're currently 6-3. And they're just, their batting lineup is absolutely dominating. Abreu's dominating. Tim Anderson's playing some great small ball. Defensively, they're playing great. And they actually just dominated the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend, who are a legit team. So White Sox coming out the gate hot. Number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the Los Angeles Angels. They are currently 6-4. They're on a 3-game winning streak. And Shohei Ohtani, he started off kind of cold the first couple of games, but man, dude's really turned it on. He hit 2 home runs the other day in 1 game, and he's just on fire behind the plate. And then Trout, he unfortunately did get injured, so it doesn't seem to be a big deal. It looks like he's just going to be day to day. But Trout was just getting hot as well, and then he injured, I believe, his wrist or his hand, something. Yeah, that's right. He got hit by a pitch, so it's either his hand or his wrist, but it doesn't seem to be that serious. But then you also had Noah Syndergaard. He's been playing lights out right now for the Angels. So they just dominated the Texas Rangers this weekend as well. Apparently, that's who Shohei Ohtani, he owns them right now. Since he hit the league, Shohei Ohtani has been playing great. He just has to play the Texas Rangers, and he's going to have a good game. That's for damn sure. And then moving on to number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Toronto Blue Jays. They are 6-4. They are actually first in their division right now, too. And man, Vlad Guerrero Jr., he is also on fire. I did mention at the beginning of the season, 2 of my MVP picks were Shohei Ohtani and Vlad Guerrero Jr. And right now, they're looking like that's the route they're taking. It's like they heard what I was saying. And they're like, yeah, I am going to be the MVP. And they're just battling back and forth right now between home runs. But Vlad right now, he's the home run leader. He had 3 home runs last week in 1 game. But really, this entire batting lineup is just scoring offense like no other. So the Blue Jays playing great baseball right now. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Colorado Rockies. They are 6-3 right now. And if you don't know, this is if you aren't paying attention, this is the 3rd team from the NL West that I have in my power rankings. So that kind of goes to show you that this is going to be a battle for this division. The Padres are doing well as well. They're not in this in my top 10 this week, at least. But I mean, this is now the 3rd NL West team I've got. And the Rockies are a huge surprise to me because you never really know what you're going to get with them. But, I mean, CJ Cron right now, he is on a tear. He's just hitting it out of the park. He's hit playing small ball. They did go 2-2 against the Cubs this weekend. But they're playing some great all-around baseball. We'll see what happens with the Rockies. We'll see if they can maintain this. But right now, they're at number 7 on my top 10. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Boston Red Sox. They are 5-4 right now, and they swept the Twins this weekend, which is big. Alex Verdugo, man, he has just been lights out behind the plate. He's got, I believe, 3 home runs. He's hitting something like hitting in the 400s in the batting average area. I know this because he is on one of my fantasy baseball lineups, and I was just looking at his stats last night, and I was like, damn. This guy's tearing it up for me. And you never know with him because he can be a very streaky player. They actually ended up trading for him when they traded Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. This was they ended up getting Verdugo from the Dodgers. And at the time, it kind of looked like he was going to be the future of the Dodgers, but you couldn't really tell. He was very streaky. Then when he got traded to the Red Sox, he was kind of streaky. Then last year, he actually really started to turn it on. So the fact that he is starting the season off the way he is, maybe he's finally going to pan out and be the offensive powerhouse that the Red Sox really could use. But they've had a great first week so far. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the Houston Astros. They are currently 5-4. But the most impressive thing that happened with them this week is Justin Verlander. He's missed the last two seasons. He had Tommy John surgery last year. The year before, I can't recall what his injury was, but he's been out the last two seasons. He's also 39 years old, but he is one of the most prolific pitchers of our time, especially this era. If you're ranking pitchers from this, I want to say, let's say the last like 10, 15 years, Justin Verlander is that dude. He's definitely in the top five for sure. Especially if you're like comparing him to like Madison Bumgarner, great pitcher, Clayton Kershaw, great pitcher, Matt Cain, great pitcher. And there's just so many I could actually go on and say, but Verlander, Max Scherzer, but Verlander has been that dude. And so he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, which is a big deal if you're a pitcher. Like I said, he's also 39 years old, so he's been around for a while. And the injuries, I mean, it's really difficult to overcome injuries regardless of who you are. But when you're 39, it's really difficult to do that. But he came out in his first game back. He threw 8 scoreless innings with 8 strikeouts, only allowed 3 hits in a 4-0 win against the Seattle Mariners. So that's a great start for him. I'm happy to see it because I actually am a huge Justin Verlander fan. I've enjoyed his career from the start when he was in Detroit. But now he's with the Astros. He's a great pitcher. And it was great to see him come out and have that type of a game. And hopefully he continued that for the rest of the season. But the injuries, I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up getting injured again because he has a very like violent throwing motion. And that's why he needed Tommy John surgery in the first place. But hey, he had a great game, and we'll see what he could do for the rest of the season. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings, I have the St. Louis Cardinals. Currently, they're 5-3. Speaking of the old dudes, Albert Pujols still in the freaking league, he's back with the Cardinals this year. It's great that the universal DH. Is the rule now because that extends somebody like Pujols now. But he came in and he's been making a difference so far. He had a huge home run, game-winning home run the other day. But even beyond him, Mats is pitching well. And then Dickerson on the offensive side of things, he's playing well also. So the Cardinals, they are rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings. All right, and then really not a lot went on in the NFL this weekend. There was the start of those spring football leagues. To be honest, I've kind of given up on the whole alternative type football leagues, you know, that they've tried over the years. I didn't even really care when it was out, a couple years ago, I think, right before COVID. We had that one spring league, and then they basically folded. And it's just, I don't get excited for them anymore. So I didn't watch any of them, didn't pay attention to what was going on with those. But and just the reason why, too, is like, to me, the product's not the same. We get some of the old school players. Like, it was actually cool, you know, speaking of another old guy, Terrell Owens, he's actually in one of these spring leagues. And he's 48 years old, and he got a touchdown and had a pretty decent game. And he's still in great shape. So, I mean, good for him that he could still get out there and play if he wants to. But, my hopes aren't ever high for these spring leagues. I don't think it's even worth to pretend that I'm going to get into them because I just eventually feel like at some point they're going to fold because they usually do, unfortunately. And I don't know why. I mean, we all love sports, especially football. And, you know, in the gambling age, too, because now that gambling is just growing and growing, while it keeps being legalized in more and more states, the interest level, I feel like, is going to be there for a little bit. But I don't know if they can really sustain any type of interest. And so that's why I've never been into these spring leagues anymore. I used to give them a try when I was a kid because I'd be so desperate for football. But it's just, I don't want to get into something and then just have it be canceled. But also at the same time, like I said, it's not the same. The product's not the same. I'm not watching the Dallas Cowboys. Fuck it. And then in NFL news, we have 3 potential holdouts for big-time wide receivers going into all the off-season workouts this season. Because now we're getting towards May, And usually they start the OTAs in May. Some of them will start them, maybe even, I think I saw somebody starts in the next 2 weeks. So there are teams that are going to be starting all their off-season workouts. We have the draft next week, as a matter of fact. But three wide receivers are going to be potentially holding out. The first one, Deebo Samuel with the 49ers. And if I'm the Niners, I'm re-signing that dude. He's obviously a huge piece of what they do. And if they're going to be moving on to Trey Lance as their starting quarterback this season, they're definitely going to need Deebo Samuel. Not just on the receiving end of things, but I mean, the dude is, he's just got so many different uses as a wide receiver. The fact that he can run the ball the way he can run the ball is just such an amazing weapon to have that I don't know how the 49ers can't pay this dude. You could get definite great trade bait out of him if that's the route they end up going, but I kind of feel like they have to stick with Deebo, especially if they're moving on. If they weren't going into a season with a brand new quarterback, I might say, hey, look into the trade market if that's what you want to do, because they're going to have to pay him. If you haven't noticed, especially this offseason for the wide receivers, they're getting paid. Tyreek Hill just got paid. Devontae Adams just got paid. And those are two of the top receivers in the league. But hey, Deebo is right behind him. And so Deebo is probably going to be looking for some big-time bucks. So we'll see if the 49ers are going to be willing to pay him. But I think they should, especially with the fact that they're going into the season with Trey Lance is probably their quarterback one. Then it looks like A.J. Brown of the Tennessee Titans, he also is may possibly hold out for the offseason workouts. And that's another guy I feel like you kind of got to pay. I don't think Ryan Tannehill would be look as good or even be half as successful as he's been with the Titans if it wasn't for A.J. Brown. You know, speaking of Terrell Owens, A.J. Brown actually really reminds me of a lot of Terrell Owens. He's really strong. He could beat you at the line, but he's also really fast, and he's got great hands. And A.J. Brown, to me, is just a huge – he's a game changer. So if you're the Titans, I feel like they got to – I feel like they've got to re-sign him as well, but you never know what these teams are going to do because they do actually have a ton of weapons with Derrick Henry, but A.J. Brown's a game changer in my opinion. And then Terry McLaurin with the Washington Commanders, he also may hold out of off-season workouts. The Commanders obviously should pay him. They don't really have any key players. They don't really have any star players. You know, Chase Young, he's probably their biggest star player, but he's on the defensive side of the ball. And also you never know what's going to happen. But out of all their players, they don't really have much going on with the Commanders. And they're definitely going to need to give Carson Wentz some help. And also Terry McLaurin, he's been a good, solid receiver for them. So I feel like they have to pay him. If they don't pay him, which honestly wouldn't be shocking because they make stupid moves. I mean, the Commanders are one of the most poorly run franchises in the league. So I wouldn't be shocked if they let him go. But he definitely deserves to be paid, and they should definitely keep him because they don't have anybody else, especially on the offensive side of the ball, to make up for his loss if they end up losing him. So we'll see what happens with those three receivers. But it was a pretty quiet weekend for the NFL. We are going into the draft this week. It's next week, but I mean the rest of the next week and a half, there's the potential that we're going to, you know, see some trades, some teams moving up, especially come next week. So we'll see what happens, especially with these three guys. If they're looking for contract extensions, there's a huge possibility that one of these guys could get moved before the draft. Because usually when you're trading somebody away, you want some draft picks in return. And with the draft around the corner, they might want some draft picks in return for those type of dudes. But we'll see what happens there. That's today's show. We got a couple games on tap tonight, some game twos in the NBA. First is the Toronto Raptors versus the Philadelphia 76ers. Then we got the Utah Jazz versus Dallas Mavericks, and Luka is he's doubtful for that game. So I think it's doubtful that the Dallas Mavericks are going to win that game, if that's the truth. And then we're rounding out the night with the Denver Nuggets versus the Golden State Warriors. So we got those game twos on tap for tonight. And then we got NBA playoffs all throughout the rest of the week. So we'll see how that goes. And I'll talk to you guys on Friday.